Do you remember a subject in school that presented you with a bit of a struggle? There may have been a particular subject that you just didn't get. No matter how hard you tried, it just wasn't something you could grasp. Perhaps it was mathematics, or perhaps it was music, or perhaps it was a language. Or perhaps it was just sections of those subjects that was it became more difficult as years went by, that there were certain concepts that just seemed beyond your reach, that presented you with challenge, that you felt you could never, ever comprehend. Well, I had a few. Grade 13, I've just shown my age. Grade 13 Relations and Functions, which was one of the mathematics courses which took equations that would eventually become three-dimensional. I couldn't get it, but I was required to pass a grade 13 math in order to enter university. And my teacher was patient and showed me how I might be able to understand it. And then, of course, there was physics, much related to mathematics. Never got it, still don't. It's a mystery. And the irony is, my mother was a mathematics and a physics teacher. That added to the pressure. I tried to take German 3 times. I had this fantasy that I could read Carl Jung in the original. I never passed German. And then, of course, in my first degree at Huron College in psychology, in order to accomplish and graduate from my Bachelor's of Arts, I needed to complete successfully a course in statistics. You can see there's a theme here. I simply could not understand statistics at all. But I was blessed to have an extraordinary teacher. His name was Fred Bird. He was the Dean of Arts of Huron College. He was a Freud scholar. He lived statistics and understood them and tutored me personally, painstakingly, until I comprehended concepts that just didn't fit how my brain worked. Somehow the linear understanding just went against the more poetic, creative side of who I am. But in a Christ-like manner, Dr. Bird continued to show me how I might approach the subject and the concepts and the challenges from where I was as a learner, finding new ways to come at explaining things so that I might actually understand them. He was gracious and gentle and patient. And successfully, I achieved doing actually quite well in the course. And much of it is because of his gracious teaching and his kind and generous manner. There were certain subjects that for the disciples were also a struggle or a challenge that they couldn't get their brains around, or that they continuously just didn't get. There was one particular subject that Jesus kept presenting to them that was an important teaching that they continued to not really get, as it is accounted in the Gospel of Mark. We hear in the Gospel of Mark 3 times where Jesus presents this teaching. And he illustrates in each of these times that he was indeed a very good rabbi, a gentle and patient teacher, creative and generous, and willing to repeat and repeat and repeat until the learners at least began to grasp something of what he was pointing to them, offering examples over and over and over again so that they might be able to have that miraculous point of entry into a new understanding. Jesus was very good at following the educational pedagogy of tell, point, and show. In particular, there was a particular course which I have called the Class of Eternal Life Skills. Jesus was continuing through the entire Gospel of Mark with this one particular class with his disciples, talking to them about eternal life and the skills and things necessary to achieve it, to understand it, to live it. He continually provided the teaching itself, and we hear in Mark's Gospel three times the response of the learners, and then offering them a symbol, and then a final teaching, which was usually a paradox. So the hoped-for outcome in this class of eternal life skills, the hoped-for outcome was an understanding, an embodiment, a taking on of this message. And the message was, the Son of Man will go to Jerusalem, will suffer, will be rejected, betrayed, mocked, and spat upon, will be killed and die, and on the third day will rise again. 3 times in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus tries to teach this message to his disciples. We hear of it in chapter 8, 31. He puts out the message, the Son of Man will be arrested, will be tortured, will die, and will rise. And Peter rebukes him, as you remember. Peter rebukes him and denies the response. And then Jesus, the teacher, offers a symbol. And the symbol is the cross. Those who will take up their cross and follow me, maybe they'll understand this message, this teaching. And then follows that up with a paradox. Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life will save it. And again, the same teaching later in chapter 9, verse 10, the same teaching, this is what's going to happen to the Son of Man is going to die and rise. And the response of the learners is they're walking along the way, and Jesus says, what have you been discussing along the way? And they say, his nearest and dearest, having just been told yet again that he is about to face death, we were talking about who is the greatest. Who's the greatest among us? The response. And Jesus, the teacher, offers a symbol and takes a child and holds this child in his arms and says to them, whoever welcomes one such as these welcomes me and the one who sent me. Whoever gets in the way of one of these little ones gets in the way of God. And after the symbol, the paradox. Whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. And then the third example in this class of eternal life skills we pick up today. Jesus, just prior to this morning's gospel, has yet again given the message. Here's what you need to know. The Son of Man will go to Jerusalem, will be arrested and handed over to the authorities, who will question him, and then will hand him over, and he will be beaten and spat upon and flogged and killed, and will rise again on the third day. And after they had heard this message yet again, we pick up with their response this morning. James and John come to Jesus and ask for a favor. Do whatever we ask of you. Always a dangerous thing. having heard that he's going to go into whatever's next, they ask, make sure one of us is on your right and on your left when you come into your glory. They're still seeking that place of status to know that they're the favorites in the class, that they're the teacher's pet, and that that will continue into the next. And Jesus, the gentle teacher, the wise and generous one, offers them a symbol to help them understand. The cup and baptism. Are you able to share these with me? And then takes it even further when dissension breaks out amongst the class and calls them together and offers the paradox. Whoever wishes to be the greatest among you must be servant of all, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave. Because the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. This wonderful method of teaching, which was offered to the disciples then, continues to be offered to us. Thank God, because we continue to struggle with trying to understand, with trying to get it, with trying to live this kind of life that Christ calls us into, to participate in this experience of this glory of what it means to die and to rise so that God can transform death into life and change the world. And just as then, so now, we are given this incredible gentle teaching, this reminder over and over again, repeated, so that we might wrestle with understanding how to live out these words and be the followers of Jesus all the way. To follow that sacrificial living, which means dying to self and to others, so that God might transform us and make something new. The whole of Christianity hangs on a paradox. The whole of the salvation of God hangs on the cross, which is the sacred holding together of opposites. A seemingly contradictory or absurd statement or proposition, which when given time and investigation and energy can actually be proven to be true. This paradox that Christ holds forward to the disciples then and repeats to us through the decades is a constant reminder of God's gracious and generous teaching and willingness to come at the message in ways that we can enter into it so that it will indeed change us and allow the grace of God to transform us, that we may be witnesses to this way, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, and yet is the very way of God to change and save the world. The syllabus of this class that Jesus is teaching to his disciples is there for us. It's there for us this morning, as it has been over these last several weeks as we've walked through the Gospel of Mark. And we are still, like the disciples, learning the way, the mysterious way of this paradox of God, this mystery. It's lovely that today is the marathon, because the winner will be the one who comes in last. We won't hear about them, but they are the one who wins. And perhaps you've seen an example on social media that's been making the rounds since 2005. It's a picture of Arctic wolves who are in a line walking through the tundra. And originally, the explanation of these wolves and their activity was, it was an example where the elders were in the front of the line because they set the pace, and behind them came the healthy ones, and then the little ones, And at the back came what was at that time called the alpha male of the pack. It's a great model of leadership. Well, there's been a correction on the understanding of that activity of wolves. And those who study these things have identified that in the very front of this line isn't the elders, isn't the old ones, but is actually the matriarch of the pack, who is the holder of the genetic line of the community and family, who finds the visionary way. And behind her are the elders, cared for, so she sets the pace that they can walk, and then the healthy ones, and then the children, and the stragglers, and those who might get lost, held by now what they call the male leader of the pack. This wonderful vision of paradoxical leadership in a dominating species, of how the one who is the strongest is at the back protecting those who might go astray. That's the paradoxical model that Jesus is talking about of what it is to be servant of all. And the challenge for us as individuals and as members and people who make up this cathedral is, how am I practicing this paradox? Because it must be practiced with intention. I gave up statistics once I passed. I couldn't tell you a minute how to do it because I haven't practiced it. But if we practice this teaching of Jesus, this paradoxical understanding that it is in dying that we live, in serving those before us, that we will indeed find God's glory at the feet of our friends, where the rich bend down to lift up the poor. When that is practiced daily, God's reign will be made known now.